This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise BizBytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for about an hour today, speaking about the return of the MICE, meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions industry. So the global exhibitions market has taken a huge hit from the pandemic, losing billions thanks to the international lockdown. But as soon as there was a vaccine on the horizon back in 2020, experts were saying that the industry could recover as much as 78% of that value by the end of 2022. Well, it's now 2022, and that's not really looking likely thanks to the Omicron variant.
Yes, many feel Omicron has thrown a monkey wrench into what had been looking like a slow but steady economic recovery for the $100 billion meetings and events industry. Over in the US, some companies are rethinking plans to loosen their corporate travel policies, including whether they allow travel to conferences and trade shows. Some venues, cities, and regions are also, once again, considering instituting more stringent health and safety protocols. And it's starting to feel like 2020 all over again.
Yeah, just a little bit. Now, a bit of a background on the exhibition industry. Exhibitions, often known as expos or shows, or a form of experiential marketing, which look to engage an active and highly motivated audience in face-to-face environment. The people who attend these exhibitions choose to be there and want to connect with the products or services on show, making them a particularly potent marketing tool. Mm. As of 2019, there were approximately 32,000 exhibitions each year, featuring companies from automotive producers to defense and attracting over 303 million visitors. And due to the lucrative nature of the industry's participating in the global exhibitions industry then, exhibitors and visitors combined spend billions every year on the process, making exhibitions themselves a significant global industry. One linked directly and indirectly to roughly 3.2 million total jobs worldwide.
Mm-hmm. And last year, markets began to reopen around the world, but not with the full reopening we had hoped for as the industry continued to be challenged by new waves and new variants of COVID. Organizers are still facing an outlook of stop and go, the most difficult situation possible for the industry. How many corporate exhibitions can themselves keep going in the new year is once again in doubt. Just as business executives had finally begun reaching for their conference lanyards again, in hopes after months of restrictions, the fast-spreading COVID-19 strain has prompted another round of postponements.
I mean, just take a look at what happened at CES last month. Attendance at the gadget show in Las Vegas fell more than 75% compared to its previous in-person event 2 years ago. The Consumer Technology Association said on the show's closing day that more than 40,000 people attended the multi-day event on the Strip. That's less than a quarter of the more than 170,000 the CTA said were there for its 2020 convention. The COVID-19 pandemic led the CTA to take 2021's conference online, but the trade group decided 8 months ago to bring a physical CES 2022 back to Vegas. That proved challenging as the fast-moving Omicron variant caused a spike in infections towards late last year. Conference attendees were required to wear masks on the exhibition floors and show proof of vaccination before they arrived. But the rise in COVID-19 cases led a number of big tech companies to pull out of the conference in the weeks before the event.
Yep. Amazon, Meta, and Twitter were among the tech groups that pulled out, but organizers were determined to press ahead with the event. And it's not just the CTA that were eager to get on with in-person events. Having survived previous coronavirus-induced restrictions and cancellations, battle-hardened executives behind some of the world's biggest trade shows are trying to position their companies to take advantage once the pandemic finally subsides. Stephen Carter, chief executive of Informa, the world's largest trade show organizer, said, quote, "Effectively, we have been scheduling, rescheduling, negotiating, renegotiating every 3 months for almost 2 years. Mm. It has been very demanding on our teams, and it's been quite demanding on our relationships with venue partners and contractors."
When we come back, we'll have Fong Lai Lin from Messe Worldwide to talk to us about the local exhibition and expo scene and how the stop-and-go situation is affecting local trade show organisers, their clients and B2B retail commerce. If you want to get in touch with the show, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. If we do get interrupted during the next few minutes of the show, it's because there's a lion dance happening here inside the building. It might get a little bit noisy every now and again, but it's all good fun. So don't go anywhere. We've got some music coming up, and then we're going to have a bit of a discussion before we hear from Fong Lai Lin. Music coming up from Led Zeppelin with Poor Tom here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Burning for more. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We are talking about events today, how the MICE industry is possibly making a comeback, meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions. But then again, of course, there is rising cases of Omicron, not just here, but worldwide as well. So a lot of people still scared to go out and kind of mingle in public. Me and Christine, I think, amongst those people who are a little bit reticent about heading out and, you know, rubbing shoulders with strangers or people we haven't seen in almost 2 years. You know, Christine, how comfortable would you be to going to anything like this just yet?
I think, I feel like I've made this fairly clear on Biz Bytes before, I'm a notorious homebody. I think that while I do understand that there is a certain utility to in-person events that can't be replicated online. You know, generally speaking, networking is made much easier and smoother in person, which I totally get, and is, for a lot of people, the main point of in-person events. I'm good. I mean, I think that at the heart of it all, I think my stance on this is basically keeping people alive is more important than networking.
I agree.
That's just kind of where I'm at.
Yep. So when there's this discussion about hybrid events, right?
Yep.
Do you think that's the kind of sweet spot then for people like you and me, and for people, you know, who think we still need to network, but we don't necessarily want to go out?
I think maybe not necessarily a sweet spot quite yet. I think there's still a number of teething issues that still need to be addressed. We haven't quite, personally speaking, I haven't quite attended a virtual or hybrid event yet that has quite hit the nail on the head with, you know, marrying the two experiences together as smoothly as I think is possible. But I don't think it's so much a matter of whether or not they hit the spot. It's what's necessary right now. You know, I think, again, regardless of whatever, people's safety comes first.
Agreed. Folks, let us know what you think. Get us via WhatsApp. You know the number by now, but I'm going to keep hammering it at you. 018-789-8899, or get us via Twitter at BFM Radio. Now, to give us an outlook into the events and exhibition industry for the year 2022, we have on the line with us Fong Lai Lin, Sales Director for Messe Worldwide. Lin has been in the business for around 15 years, and Messe Worldwide have been around for 32 years. They currently represent four German trade fair organizers: Deutsche Messe in Hanover, Messe Düsseldorf, Messe Frankfurt and Hamburg Messe. They are currently working with regional big guns at Constella Exhibitions and are now representing Hive UK. Lai Lin, you recently attended trade shows and expos in Germany and Singapore towards the end of 2021. What was the experience like? Did it feel odd or uncomfortable at all going back to large-scale international exhibitions?
Whether it felt odd or uncomfortable, I would say it's a mixture of feelings. One would be is like we've done so many things online for close to 2 years. And when you suddenly have to face people again, you wonder, what was it that we did beforehand? But it quickly set in to become a normal environment. People were greeting each other, sends handshakes, some just in care and they gave like big bear hugs. But you could see that a lot of the exhibitors and visitors were happy to see each other again in person, because There's nothing like meeting people face-to-face, having to discuss things in person. The space is more intimate, be it whether it's an exhibition or an event. And, you know, while the event that I attended in Dusseldorf, called Medica, was, of course, not the size that you would remember it to be, having it attract 3,500 exhibitors, six of them from Malaysia, and 47,000 visitors, of which there was a Ministry of Health delegation, says a lot. For me, I think it is slowly returning to it, albeit the fact that, you know, you have Omicron now attacking from all ways possible. But we in the events industry are very resilient people. The event in Singapore, we actually managed to attract quite a fair crowd. In fact, you know, with all the SOPs that were put in place by the Singapore government, we managed to achieve and if not exceed the numbers that were allowed at the fairground. Given the fact that, you know, we had to temporarily shut the exhibition for an hour in the middle of the day for sanitization, it did not push people away. So if to say that, you know, large scale events are a thing of the past, I doubt very much.
Fair enough. Now, what is the outlook like for the exhibition scene in 2022? I mean, we looked to be sort of getting back on track, especially in parts of Europe before the current variant. So what is the outlook like now?
Depending very much on how the Omicron virus is being addressed. Of course, in Europe, a lot of the shows currently are being cancelled or postponed, but that doesn't mean that it will not be staged. So now it's going based on a case-by-case basis. We see how bad it would be, and then based on current SOPs or SOPs that would then be devised in the next few days, few weeks, and then that whether or not the exhibitions industry will take place in Europe. That being said, the Southeast Asian side is picking up pace. So more and more exhibitions have been staged. There are more and more exhibition organizers being birthed, more topics being done. For instance, there's a new DMG event that's coming up in July in Thailand, powered by the Ministry of Energy. And this whole event called Future Mobility Asia is surrounding around sustainability. Sustainability in a sense of electric vehicles, charging stations, solar energy, drone technology. And, you know, the fact that there are people who are interested in this and following in tandem with the Malaysian government's initiatives of wanting to push the EV market, this would only prove that the Southeast Asian market is the place to be. More and more exhibition organizers, be it European, American, British, or even Middle Eastern, even the Chinese, are paying attention, very close attention, in fact, to Southeast Asia. Why? The market is there. We have how many inhabitants across our 10 countries? And the fact that we have better spending power, we did somehow manage to clamp down or address at least COVID-19 in a better way. Vaccination rates are a lot higher than most countries. The top few, I would imagine, is actually Singapore, Malaysia, being followed suit by maybe probably Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, and the Philippines. And you can see that even things like the most interesting topics like cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, AI, NFTs, all this kind of technologies and experts are actually coming out from countries like the Philippines. So the attention span is moving towards Southeast Asia, and more of the exhibitions and conference topics are going to be centered around here because more and more people want to see what else can Southeast Asia do.
Mm. Do you foresee any staffing issues moving forward as the face-to-face exhibition scene took a breather from COVID? Did that impact talent development in this particular segment like it did in the hospitality and tourism sectors?
Well, our industry has always suffered from staffing issues. We look at it as if you really like it, you would stay. And if you were not exactly a fit, within 2 years, you would normally depart the industry. It is not exactly the easiest industry to be in, and it's also something that is not exactly taught in colleges or universities, because a lot of the points that we learn is a very hands-on approach. Yes, event management is one thing, but people tend to mix up event management with exhibition management, and it's a whole different ballgame. When it comes to exhibition management, we look at many criteria, many stakeholders, and it's not just about the wedding couple, for instance, if you're staging a wedding reception or a dinner reception that an association is heading. And what you look at is probably a venue that manages maybe 100 tables, the guest list, the theme and the decorations. But I do not discount that these events are equally as challenging. We're just very different. Exhibition management calls for not just staffing. We also call for great creativity. Execution of these ideas and is not just about the party planner and also the client, but we have to answer to exhibitions, to the exhibition owners, also to the exhibitors. Certain shows have exhibitor stakeholder management councils where they are often consulted. How else would we as exhibition organizers actually determine what the theme is for the year or even whether the show is remaining relevant? That's why you see certain shows actually morph into what it is today. To say that, yes, we can be lumped up under the hospitality and tourism sectors, but we're not exactly 100% tourism either. We're business tourism. Business tourism is different. We come in with money. We usually stay in good hotels. We spend every night in very expensive restaurants usually, but we also take time to see the city. And we don't stay for 3-4 days. We actually concentrate on making sure business works. And that's why Europe, or Germany in this case, has always put their bang on exhibitions. So take, for example, the largest printing exhibition in Germany called Drupa. When it happens, it's once every 4 years. And the city of Düsseldorf actually converts itself into the red city. Red because Drupa's corporate color is red. And every single street, banner, uniform will convert into red because it is simultaneous with Drupa. And on top of that, participating outlets, hotels, restaurants provide discounts and benefits to anyone who's actually visiting Drupa or exhibiting at Drupa for that year. I remember that some of our clients actually had to stay 2 hours away and then get ferried in by a bus because, you know, there were no hotels at all available in the vicinity of Düsseldorf. That says a lot when it comes to an exhibition business, and it benefits not just the city itself, but the fringe towns. For instance, in Hanover, back when CeBIT was still the thing and we attract more than 1 million visitors just for that week, we had people who stayed in smaller towns like Celle, smaller towns and even Barnes. And people then had to actually rent out their apartments because, you know, there was absolutely no space. And those who actually did stay in Hanover, mind you, with an inhabitant number of 500,000 people only, you can imagine the sheer influx of foreign visitors coming in to visit the exhibition because it was the thing to do to see the latest technologies. It was also the same event that Facebook saw Oculus, and ta-da, Oculus is now Facebook brand. So to say that to a certain extent that staffing is an issue, yes, but we are also able to develop talent. And for those who are interested to join this industry, by all means, drop us a note and we'll see where and how we can actually incorporate you into our very idealistic world.
Okay, we're going to take a short break here. We've been on the phone with Fong Lai Lin, the sales director for Messe Worldwide Sindirin Berhad. Let us know your thoughts on this topic. How comfortable are you with attending in-person events and hybrid events? Do they hit the spot for you? Yes or no? Just let us know. Get us via WhatsApp 018-788-9899, Twitter or Instagram. Twitter just for now, at BFM Radio. We are going to take a short break. When we do come back, talking maybe a little bit about disruptors and that kind of thing. Let's have some music. It's the Monkees with Last Train to Clarksville here on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Big Front Man, BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're talking to you about the wonderful topic of MICE, meetings, incentives, conferences, and the exhibitions industry. A little bit about whether or not we feel comfortable going back to in-person events and hybrid events. Do they kind of hit the spot or not? We've got on the line with us Fong Lai Lin. She's the sales director for Messe Worldwide, Cinder and Behad. And we've been talking about the business that she's been involved with for the last 15 years. Now, Lynn, we've seen disruptors come into play in almost every segment of the economy. Has there been one in the exhibition space?
Oh, for sure, we have had disruptors. Back in, I think, the early 2000s, there was a small disruptor, and that was the beginning of virtual spaces online. But because the industry or the exhibition space has always been a very matured space, and the importance of face-to-face has always taken precedence, be it whether a huge climate catastrophe like volcano in Iceland or even the floods or however you can imagine, exhibitions still take place. I remember when I was working in London together with the Design Against Crime Research Centre, my professors who were traveling for an exhibition to do with crime prevention in Italy had to find their way back. But they said that, you know, it was well worth their time to see what how to address some of the issues that they have come up with in terms of solutions. And even if it took them 3 days to get back just because of the Iceland volcano eruption, it did not defer them from actually traveling to Italy and back. So that says, you know, very promisingly. Fast forward to today, where we see the virtual space is becoming more and more important. Only because, you know, COVID dealt a heavy blow to traveling and no one is allowed to get anywhere or everywhere. And that's when I think the biggest disruptor came in, when all these conference apps, event management digitally came into more prominence. Now you see not just one version, but 10 million different versions. I may be exaggerating, but I've come across quite a bit already. And each one has their plus points. However, are all of us really ready for a virtual space? You can talk to anyone right now on a random basis and they'll say, oh gosh, no more. I don't want to see any more online screens, only because it puts a damper on spirits. You and I know that there's only a certain extent that one can take a digital space. And without face-to-face, certain conversations just fall through the cracks. And now you can even see it. It's apparent very much in the year 2022 since, you know, the doors have opened, the borders have been relaxed, and more people want to meet in person, be it whether or not there is a virtual space. A lot of the exhibition organizers, while still looking at face-to-face, have, of course, adopted a digital version. But how intricate and how in-depth they are is left to each exhibition organizer to determine. Because if one does not actually see the point of a digital space, then having a digital platform to sell machinery, for instance, is not going to work. And for me personally, I do not think an exhibitor would want to put up their machine that costs $10 million, for instance, and for visitors to come and see it through a virtual scale and not be able to touch and feel it. $10 million is a lot of money. So as much as a digital exhibition platform is a complement to what a face-to-face exhibition is, it does not necessarily mean it will be replaced.
Right. Well, there are, however, several virtual event players that do say hybrid events are the way forward. According to Allied Market Research, the global virtual events industry, which was estimated at $57 billion in 2019, should be worth more than $700 billion by 2018. But those, as you mentioned earlier in the exhibition space, say nothing can replace the handshake or the face-to-face marketing experience, being physically present at trade shows. What are your thoughts then on the way forward?
I personally have been marketing digital platforms because certain shows could not be staged in year 2020. And certain ones did take on a full virtual event platform in 2021 because, you know, staging a big event may cost them more money if they actually staged it in person. whether it's the way forward? Depends. I think it all boils down to industry. For instance, if it is to do with addressing retail space or connected retail, to be exact, then maybe a digital virtual event platform might benefit from it. Because, for instance, e-commerce is, again, virtual. POS systems can be introduced virtually. Almost everything is downloadable via an app. To do AR, VR, all of this is possible over the internet already. So to say that this particular industry in terms of connected retail is possible to be, you know, fully incorporated into a virtual space, yes, I do not discount it. In fact, I actually advocate it because, you know, most of us are already online shopping. To create a better experience is what you want. If you say, however, it is an exhibition that touches on a very delicate topic like medical, there were a ton of B2B meetings that were held digitally. But again, to talk the finer details about gloves, about operational theaters, about robotic surgery, doing things online for such a topic may prove to be a fine line. If properly executed, maybe, but how many of these medical device manufacturers prefer to be online on such a topic as compared to that of a face-to-face? That is evident when we did Medica in 2020 and 2021. One was purely virtual, which was in 2020. We did succeed in getting maybe 2,000 plus exhibitors and 40,000 visitors. However, of the 40,000 visitors in inverted commas, many of them were actually not even true blue buyers because they also had an ulterior motive. Many of them were actually exhibitors, to say the least, or manufacturers trying to sell to exhibitors who are actually manufacturers or brand owners themselves. So how do we then say you are not allowed to be a visitor or you're not allowed to be part of the participation or participant list because you can formally register and you can formally pay for a ticket? Now, German exhibitions have never been free. We have always charged a price in order for people to enter. And the same when it comes to being online, because we don't want it to make it as if, you know, one for all and free for all, that kind of environment. And at the same time, those who are serious would want to pay. But well, how much money do you then charge for a virtual event that takes place for an exhibition? Do you want it to have free access to all of the other perks that a conference delegate would have, which means if they pay 1,900 euros to be part of the conference and then access free access to all exhibitors who have chosen to share their information, as compared to a normal participant who did not subscribe to the conference but only to the exhibition, then how much do you charge them? So it's a very fine line as to whether or not virtual spaces will actually play any prominence in 101 different industries. Some, yes. Some, maybe not. Some, possibly never. Only because the type of industry that it entails may and may not necessarily embrace such things, because leading towards it a little bit more is that, you know, the item that they are actually promoting, exhibiting, calls for more than just a short visit over the internet. You need longer discussion times, and a digital space will not cut it.
Lynn, I want to go off topic ever so slightly. But I understand the exhibition industry is trying to do its part for the planet. You know, there are initiatives to go carbon neutral and control emissions, etc. You know, a lot of people before would be traveling on planes to and from exhibitions. Can you talk to us about some of the things exhibitors are doing to go green?
Yes, the exhibition industry has always tried to address this in totality. Of course, we are seen to look at using single-use carpets, for instance. But these items are usually put into recycle bins and all. Then again, it depends on which country you're going at and whether sustainability is a big topic. Using Germany as the biggest exhibitions industry market you can find, they have recycling bins also in the exhibition's hall. Once you have completed building a booth, the plastics, where does it go? Also, when you buy plastic bottles of water, In Germany, they charge you FAND, and this fund is actually a fee that they charge to the bottle or the crate that you have bought. Then it encourages you to go back and put it back for recycling, and they refund you this fund. When it also comes to other items like carbon emissions, wood, and all of that, a lot of people now are actually resorting to using iPads. Of course, electronic waste in a way can be delayed if, you know, it's used properly. And not many people now print a lot of brochures. They are also very selective when it comes to giving out brochures. You actually don't print as much as before. And when it comes to going carbon neutral, we have shows that actually promote carbon neutral, going into and controlling the emissions that we emit. We look at how it is merely a walking exhibition and not something that they encourage cars to enter. And they charge a premium if you actually have an automobile of some sort. Nothing is within the exhibition center, and you will have to track your way with trains, tram. In fact, it's like an ecosystem too. All German trade fair exhibition centers are never in the center of town. Given Frankfurt maybe, who has about more than 4 to 5 stations away from the main train station. But that being said, again, many people still arrive at the trade fair center in Frankfurt with the public transportation. We also look at solar as a mode of generating electricity. How is it solar good in, very temperate climates like Europe? Well, there are always ways to generate energy. And on top of that, we also have wind turbines that actually power a lot of energy within the country in itself. Here, of course, you know, Malaysia is not 100% wind generated, but I think maybe authorities are looking into it. But we are also looking at the fact that solar is an option for us because we get enough sun. So for exhibition owners, exhibition ground owners, we should look at trying to find the equilibrium when it comes to promoting an event that is to do with carbon neutralism, as well as being more neutral in when it comes to its environment, its built arena. Then you would see a much better way of looking at how exhibitions can address sustainability.
Thank you very much. That was Fong Lai Lin, the sales director for Messe Worldwide Sendirian Berhad. Of course, we have been speaking to you about MICE, and by MICE we mean meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions, and how potentially they could be getting back on their feet, in some places at least anyway. I want to thank you all for your contributions to today's show, but if you did miss any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you download it from. We recommend that you use the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. To take us out of today's show, on behalf of myself and Christine, we've got a bit of Aretha Franklin with Rocksteady. And don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon here on Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bites was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.